And everybody said, I welcome everyone to our Bible study tonight in Jesus' name. The Lord appreciates your coming, and you also need to appreciate your coming. The Bible study is the backbone of the believer. And we thank the Lord he's seen us through having the Bible study all these years from 1973 till date. And I pray that until we see him face to face, we will continue studying his word, learning his word, and living by that word in Jesus' name. Bring your whole family. Tell your friends, tell our members, tell those who do not understand the importance of the Bible study. Impress it on them. They'll come with you. I said he'll come with you. And the Lord will reward you for such a service in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for bringing us to the Bible study. It's your spirit that has kept the interest in us. And we pray the working of the Spirit will never leave us in Jesus' name. As we study today, implant your word, your nature, and the life of Christ in every one of us in Jesus' name. And confirm every promise in your word, every provision in your word, every proclamation in your word, confirm each in every life, Lord. Thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Headquarters, say amen before you sit down. We're coming to James chapter 2. And from James chapter 2, we're reading from verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons, with partiality. Look at verse 2. In verse 2 it says, for if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. Tells us in verse 3, it says, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay, good, shining clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Verse 4, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? In verse 5, it says, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? Look at verse 6. In verse 6, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Verse 7. In verse 7 it says, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? It's asking a lot of questions, a number of questions, to make us think and to make us see the way we accept the faith, believe the faith was delivered unto the saints, and the way we practice what we learn from the faith was delivered unto the saints. When the Bible says you are earnestly content, for the faith was delivered unto the saints, it's talking about the teaching, about the doctrines, about the revelations, about everything connected with the faith in Christ. And now he's asking the believers, he's writing to, the way you practice, the way you do, and the way you act, your character, does it show that you have a balanced understanding, a balanced approach to the faith, to the word the Lord has revealed? And is telling us, having respect of persons, having partiality, and either in the word of God, you accept this or reject that, you accept that person, you reject that person, or you do well to another person and then you relegate other people to the background. It says, if you're living like that, you are taking the faith of Jesus Christ with respect of persons. If your obedience to the Lord depends on the facial appearances of people, if your goodness, if your righteousness, if your practical life depends on what you see of them, how high they are, how low other people are, and if it's when you know, he makes me feel good, he honors me, he respects me, he knows how to lift up somebody, so I will bend to him, I will honor him, I will apply the word of God. When he talks to me, but he doesn't care for anybody, he just looks and he goes on, and also shows special respect unto me, so I will not obey the word of God when it comes to him, or even comes from him. He's saying, do you have the real faith, the genuine faith, the transparent faith, the faith that shows that what you care for is the word of God, is the revelation of the word of God? Are you just acting as if you really don't have the faith, but you show respect of persons? That's why we're looking at the teaching of the word of God today, the scripture-based impartiality of true brethren in Christ. In Christ, coming to Christ when you are born again, when you give your life to the Lord, when he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in unto him. You in him and he in you. In Christ, brethren, those who are brothers and sisters in the family of God, Jesus Christ said, these who hear the word of God and do it, they're my mother, my brother, my sister. We form the family of God because we do the word of God. We're looking at him, we're seeing him, we're obeying him, and we're following the very steps of Christ. Then we'll become brothers and sisters in the family of God, sons and daughters of God, brethren in Christ, true brethren in Christ. There are false brethren. They say they are born again, their life doesn't show it. The false brethren, they look at the word of God, they do not have the true faith in Christ. The penetration of the word of God is not in them. They are false, but the people who are true, that the people that know Christ as their personal Savior, they're the people that know Christ and they know the word of Christ and live by the word of Christ. They're nominal Christian, they're church-going Christian, they're superficial Christian. There are people who do not have the Spirit of God bearing witness in their hearts that they're children of God. God does not reckon with them. We don't reckon with them too. But the people who are born again, the new creatures in Christ, all things are passed away and all things have become new. They are the true brethren in Christ. How do they live? They live in a Bible-based impartiality. They do not take one part of the word of God and then reject the other part. They have impartiality because the true brethren in Christ tonight, the scripture-based impartiality of true brethren in Christ. We're looking at three things in the study today. Number one, the blessed faithfulness and impartiality of the Lord of glory. That's of Jesus Christ himself, the Lord of glory. He is the one we follow. He is a perfect example. He is our model. And he says, we'll walk in the steps of Christ. And he has the blessed faithfulness and impartiality. And we labor after his perfect example. Number two, the brotherly fellowship. Brotherly fellowship without partiality, living by his gospel. Number three, the blameless followers with perseverance of the life of godliness. Let's look at number one. Number one, the blessed faithfulness and impartiality of the Lord of glory. In James chapter 2, reading here from verse 1, my brethren, actually James, the writer of this epistle, he calls brethren a lot of times to show he wasn't writing to sinners, he was writing to the people who know the Lord, who love the Lord, and who love the word of God, and they live by the word of God. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. He calls Jesus Christ the Lord of glory. The Lord of, is the Lord of grace, is the Lord of godliness, is the Lord of the godly, and the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory with respect of persons. He wants us to understand that Christ, the Christ we follow, is an impartial Christ. The Christ we follow is the one that followed the Father through and through without any partiality. Look at three things here. We're looking at number one, the God of glory, impartial without respect of persons. Number two, the Lord of glory, perfectly free from respect of persons. Number three, the lifters of his glory, impartial without respect of persons. Look at number one. Number one is the Lord of glory, impartial without respect of persons. We're looking at Acts of the Apostles chapter 7, and we're looking at verse 2. Acts chapter 7 verse 2, and he said, men, brethren, fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. This God the Father referred to as the God of glory. And God the Son, Jesus Christ, referred to as Lord of glory. I and my Father are one. One in nature, one in attributes, and one in glory. I and my Father, as the Father God in heaven is referred to as the God of glory, so Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, is also referred to as the Lord of glory. Hey, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 7. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 7, wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of bribes. Because he's God of glory, and because he's Lord of glory, no bribery, no corruption. You'll expect that if somebody is holy, there'll be no bribery or corruption. If somebody is holy and righteous, God is holy. He cannot have He cannot accept, he cannot think of taking bribes from people. There are people that think they'll bribe God with whatever. And some people think they'll bribe God with fasting. They're living in sin. They're living against the word of God. But they think they'll bribe God with fasting. Other people think they'll bribe God with calling him some big, big names. They think God is like man. When you call them by those special titles and by those special names, their heads swell up and they are proud. They think God is like that. You cannot bribe God with any of those things. Other people think they can bribe God with money. They bring their money bags. If your life is not right, if your life is wicked, crooked, or evil, sinful, you cannot bribe God with anything, because he, the Lord of glory, and he doesn't take bribe, he doesn't have respect of persons. Deuteronomy chapter 10, reading from verse 17. Deuteronomy 10, verse 17, for the Lord your God is God, the God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. It does not regard the physical, natural beauty of a man, of a woman. Absalom was more handsome than anybody in the land, but his handsomeness or his beauty did not bribe God. That fellow still died as a rebellious son and went to the other side. Whatever we have in the natural, however we look in the natural, it does not make God to honor us if there's no repentance, if there's no faith in Christ, if there is no righteousness in our lives. Acts chapter 10, we're reading here from verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And if we believers are truly children of God, and God bears witness with your heart, you are a child of God, we will live like he lived. Will apply the standard of the Bible in the same uniform way with everybody. What God says, he does. And if we are children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, if we are ministers of the gospel, if we are pastors in the church of the living God, that same character of God must be seen in us. We're no respecter of persons. We don't take bribes. We don't do something for people that is so scriptural, giving them a place and giving them a position that God has not given them. And it will take the grace of God. It will take the salvation of God. It will take real sanctification to so live that we don't look at the faces of people. We live by the word. I pray God will give you an eye, the grace to so live. Look at number two here. Number two, the Lord of glory, perfectly free from respect of persons. It tells us in Matthew chapter 22, and we're reading from verse 16. Matthew 22, verse 16. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true. We know that thou art true. And really they knew, although they came with pretense, but they knew. Although they came wanting to tempt him, but they knew. Although they came wanting to take a word from him, and use his own word to persecute him. That's what Herodians do. That's what persecutors do. They will use you to destroy you. They will use you to defame you. They will carve out a word you said. They will cut off a word you say and post it somewhere, and they use your word quoted out of context to destroy you, to defame you, and to destroy your ministry. That's what the Herodians did, and that's what the persecutors of those days and of today too, that's what they do. And they sent out from them out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, they don't mind what good name they call you if they can just strip you. We know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, neither carest thou for any man. Then it says, for thou regardest not the person of men. We know that about Christ. Are we Christians? Are we Christ-like? Do we live like that? Do we behave like that? Somebody said, if a person is helping me, if a person is supporting me, if a person is taking good care of me, I don't care what he does, I don't care what she does, I will always back him up. I may know he's wrong. I may know he's not living right. I may know he's going astray. I may know he's a backslider. I may know that he or she is on her way to hell. It doesn't matter to me. To them, they say, if anybody is helping them, if anybody is supporting them, if anybody has been so kind to them, they will blindly support him. Christ was not like that. Christ based his dealings with people on the word of God, not on, he gave me butter, gave me bread, he sugared my tea, he did something for me, so even if he's going to hell, I'm going to support him going to hell. I'll not want to make him unhappy because he supports me. That one is not a Christian. That's what we call the milk of human nature. The milk of human nature. I'm going to support them. I'm going to regard them, whoever they are, because they helped me in the past. Christ taught the word in truth, and Christ lived for the truth. I pray you and I will be like Christ. In Romans chapter 2, reading from verse 9. Romans chapter 2, verse 9. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. You would have thought, because these are the descendants of Abraham, that God will support them blindly. No, Jew or Gentile, yes, the same word, the same way to get saved, the same doctrine to remain steadfast. He has the same word, and the same thing with us who are believers. We walk in the same way, and we deal with different people the same way according to the word of God. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, and but glory and honor and peace to every man that walketh good. That's what we are looking for. That's what we are looking for. We're not looking at, you know, the facial appearance. We're We're not looking at their handsomeness. We're not looking at their beauty. We're not looking at their tribe. We're not looking whether they come from my tribe or not. We're not looking at their nation. They come from my nation. No, the thing we're looking for in everyone, everyone we relate with, everyone we interact with, is that he walketh good. Not that he walked good in the past, but he's not a backslider. Not that he's promising us, I'll walk good, I'll do good in the future. Today, at the present time, the grace of God abides in him. He walketh good to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Whether they're Jew or they're Greek, the same thing. All the Lord is looking for is that they have humbled themselves. He has given them grace, and they keep on humbling themselves, and he gives them more grace to keep on walking good. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. My friend, can you ever be like God? Godly like God. Godlike. Can you live like God? Or is it in your nature, and it's irreversible for you, that you live looking at the faces of people, looking at what they're doing for you, and so you cannot really have the backbone, you cannot have the courage, you cannot have the consistency of living like God, that you are not a respecter of persons, for there is no respect of persons with God. Look at verse 16 there. In verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. We're looking at James chapter 3, verse 17. James chapter 3, in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Any kind of wisdom that leads to impurity, any kind of wisdom that makes you entrenched, established in iniquity, impurity, that's not God's wisdom. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. Peaceable. Not that we'll have peace, my friend, if you compromise. You're too strong. You have such a strong conviction. You're too biblical, scriptural. And we don't want that. And so we'll be at peace with you if you will compromise. Forget it. Forget it. We cannot compromise the word of God and allow ourselves to go to hell just because we want to be at peace with. That's why it says, if it be possible, as much as it lies in you, live in peace with all men, if it be possible. How? If you don't have to compromise, if you don't have to be partial, if you don't have to let go your conviction, if you don't have to do anything that will make you disobedient unto God, be at peace, if it be possible. But if they say the condition of being at peace is that you have to compromise, and all that you have learned in the word of God all these many years, drop them, and it will be at peace. Forget about that kind of peace. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality. Without partiality. And that's the wisdom God has to say. You know, the man is not wise. He doesn't understand that in leadership,
You have to compromise. In leadership, you have to, you know, play favoritism. In leadership, you cannot treat everybody the same. You have to, you know, put people in their place, and then other people, you just have to say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. That's not the wisdom from above. That's the psychology of the world. But it says, the wisdom which is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The Lord help us. Amen. And the Lord grant us the firmness, the conviction, the consistency to know this is the way to live in the gospel. And the way to live to please God, walk ye therein. The Lord help us to walk therein. Look at number three. Number three is the litters of his glory. Impartial, without respect of person. The litters of his glory. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 24. I'm reading from verse 21. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Christians, believers, sons, daughters of God should not meddle with them that are given to change. The people who change like chameleons. Today, they're like this. When they're looking for a job, they're like that. When they're looking for a wife to marry, they are like that. When they're looking for a husband, you can't trust them. They're not dependable. You cannot say, I know, that's how sister so-and-so will act, will behave. No. Her behavior depends on the changing climate. Her behavior depends on the changing interaction she has with people. You cannot say, I depend on brother so-and-so. That's exactly how he will act. No. Their actions, their behaviors, their character depends on the changing circumstances. But you know, children of God, it says, my son, my daughter, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. The Lord do that in us in Jesus' name. Meddle not, meddle not, meddle not with them that are given to change. Because it says in verse 22, in verse 22, for their calamity, those who are given to change, those who are like chameleons, those who cannot depend upon, you cannot trust them, their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both. Look at verse 23. In verse 23, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good. It is not right. It is not righteous. It is not expected to have respect of persons in judgment. It is not right. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Anybody you are, you know, relating with is low, is high, is big, is moderate. 2 plus 3 is always 5. We don't say, okay, because of him, he doesn't calculate the way everybody calculates. 2 plus 3 is, then you mention a kind of figure. No. In science, 2 plus 3 always 5. In behavior, 2 plus 3 always 5. Whoever we're dealing with, the scripture is always the same. How do we modify the Bible for him. And we cannot modify scientific knowledge for him. That's not right. How do we exalt science above the word of God? There is no respect of persons with God, and it says it is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. The Lord give us the grace that we will abide by the clear, straightforward, simple teaching of the word of God in Jesus' name. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're reading from verse 20. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20, it says, them that sin, rebuke before all. Oh, somebody says, we cannot do that today. Because there are people there who are friends to the people that sin. The people there who, they don't care what people are done, they might spit in the face of God. That doesn't matter to them. What matters to them is that my friend is untouchable. My friend is incorrigible. You cannot correct him. Going to hell, leave him alone, is my friend. Going to perdition, leave him alone, is my friend. Pastor, do your work. Preach the word. But don't correct anybody. Don't point the right way to anyone. How can we do? What are we teaching? If you cannot emphasize the word in everybody's life, what are we teaching then? It says them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. It's not the preacher to fear the people who are preaching to, but the people that do not live by the standard of the word of God, our action should make them fear because of the judgment that will come upon them. In verse 21, it says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Do you include that in your Christian life? Do you include that in your profession of sanctification? Do you include that in your understanding of the practice of the righteous principles of the Lord? That you do nothing by partiality, and that you do not prefer one above, before, beyond the other. I pray that these words will become the watchword in the life of every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Point number two, we're looking at the brotherly fellowship without partiality, living by his gospel. We're dividing this to three parts. Number one, fresh focus on brethren in the faith. Number two, faultless fellowship among brethren without favoritism. Number three is forthright faithfulness in builders of the faith. Let's look at number one. Number one, fresh focus on brethren in the faith. Look at how the Spirit of God inspired the apostle to write to the brethren. Look at chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, that's the word, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations and trials. Don't mourn, don't be sorrowful, don't be crying. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, is writing to brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. Don't wear your feelings on the skin. That every little thing you flare up, every little thing you are angry. Where is the conversion? That's how we're one in the world. A little sentence makes people angry in the world. A look makes people angry in the world. You see a particular word different from the way you use it makes them angry. Why? How do we do that? Then you were converted now, and we're brethren, and the same attitude, anger, anger in the home, anger on the road, anger in the bus, anger anywhere the anger, in the church, anger in the presence of no. It says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know, my brother, my sister, anger does not improve anything in the church. Anger does not make us more righteous, more holy, more rapturable. No. Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Look at chapter 2, and we're looking at verse 1. In chapter 2, verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren. James is just saying, I'm writing to the brethren. I'm writing to the people who are supposed to have the grace of God, and that grace of God has converted them, transformed them. They no more people in the world, they are the brethren. And it says, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He has promised to them that love Him. Look at verse 14. In verse 14 it says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can that faith, empty faith, save him? Look at chapter 3 now, verse 1. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Because if we are masters, we are speakers, we are preachers, and yet we are not doers of the word, condemnation comes. And look at verse 10. In verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. It's writing to the brethren. And in every chapter, he's saying, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, can the fig tree, my brethren, is writing to brethren, bear only berries either? A vine fig, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. It tells us in chapter 4, verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11, he's still writing to brethren. He says, speak not evil of another. If you're a brother, if you have the grace of God controls us, restrains us, restricts us. That because of the grace of God in us, we're able to moderate our conversations. We're able to restrain our conversations. It says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, of his sister too, and judgeth his brother, his sister, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 7. In chapter 5, verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren. The world doesn't have the ability or the strength to be patient. They are in a hurry. But those who are brethren, those who are born again, those who are children of God, it says because we're brethren and we take after Christ, we can be patient. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit and of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, it says, grudge not one against another. True believers, Bible believing believers, righteous believers, rapturable believers. We're not carrying this pregnancy of grudges all about. I grudge him for this, I grudge him for that. He grudges another person, and it carries a lot of weight, a lot of load of grudges. It says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, it says, but above all things, my brethren. He's talking to brethren. And when you come to read the epistle according to James, if you're a child of God, a brother, a sister, you pay close attention, because it's written for you, written for me, written for the brethren. It says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not at all, neither by heaven, neither by the earth. There are people in the habit of saying, I swear by heaven. Christian, believer, the word of God is very clear. If you're a real child of God, just affirm your word. I'm a child of God, I won't tell you a lie. This is what actually happened. Actually, the people who swear by heaven, I swear, they tell a lot of lies. And they want you to believe them, because they say, I swear. A believer is not in the habit of swearing. When anybody talks to you and he says, I swear, just tell them straight. You don't have to swear. Are you not a believer? Tell me what's on your heart. Are you trying to use God, I swear, to now propound a lie? It says, above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but Let your yea be yea, and let your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, chapter 5, it says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one converting, brethren, any of you, brethren, he backslides, he becomes a sinner. If he dies in that condition, he dies as a sinner, and he goes to hell. But brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, look at verse 20. It says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner, one of you, a backslider, is not the sinner. He that which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. We're looking at number two here. Number two, we're looking at faultless fellowship among brethren without favoritism. Without favoritism. Look at Leviticus chapter 19. We're reading from verse 15. Leviticus chapter 19, and we're reading from verse 15. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the persons of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. That's Old Testament. That's under the Old Covenant. That's before the great grace came into the lives of the people of God. He said, even at that time, he said, we will not have respect, undue respect, special respect for the mighty. Neither are we going to respect a person because he's poor. It says everything we do in judgment, everything we do in evaluating the lives of people, we do in righteousness. Shall thou judge thy neighbor? Look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 21. In Proverbs 28, 21, to have respect of persons is not good. Anytime in the church, at the marriage committee, in choosing workers, in appointing people, in putting people in places of responsibility, it says to have respect of persons is not good. We shouldn't go by tribe. He speaks my language. He's from our extended family. He's the son, is the daughter of my uncle. No, it says to have respect of persons is not good. You know, your friend is not stable. Your friend is not steadfast. And he confides in you, my friend, I can only tell you, I can't tell other people, look at what I did, look at what I did. And I don't know whether the pastor has an idea about it or not. Because, for recent, the pastor doesn't smile wide the way he used to do to me. Don't worry, come. And then they come, and this fellow, he knows that his friend is a sinner, a backslider, an adulterer, a fornicator. He knows that his friend is a wayward person, but he's my friend. And he says, Pastor, because he thinks he has good access to me. And you look at them, you see they come to play and gamble in the church, so that we will be lenient on the sinners and let them remain in their pollution. You know, friend, to have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. Look at Jude chapter 1, verse 16. Jude chapter 1, verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. I pray the Lord will set every one of us right, ready for the rapture in Jesus' name. You know, I'm going to say another amen. Look at number three here. Number three here, we're looking at forthright faithfulness by builders of the faith. Those who are called to build the faith of others, and even to build your own faith, we need to have forthright faithfulness. You're not looking at the faces of people. You're not looking at, you know, the standing of people. You're not looking at the title of people. You know, title is just to make a difference between, this is what he does, is a preacher. This is what he does, is another kind of title. That's what the title is for. But the title doesn't take anybody to heaven. So if you're sitting on a title, if you're holding on to a title, if you're uplifting yourself by a title, why don't you remember it's just title? It means nothing in the sight of the Lord. What matters is holiness. Follow peace and holiness with all men, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's what matters. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? They that have clean hands. That's what matters. And a pure heart. That's what matters. Who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. That is what matters. Forthrightness, forthright faithfulness in builders of the faith. In Jude chapter 1, reading from verse 20. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 21. In verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And look at verse 24. In verse 24, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, he will keep you, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Verse 25, unto him, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 18. Verse 8, Luke 18, verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith, faithfulness on the earth? When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find righteousness, holiness, purity, impartiality, transparency, faith on the earth? He will find a lot of hypocrisy when he comes. He'll find a lot of partiality, respect of persons when he comes. He'll find a lot of superficiality when he comes. People that will not have any principle, will not have any kind of firm stand, conviction. Many of the people, as the Lord is coming, they don't even think about the Lord's coming. And there's so much righteousness in people who are supposed to be saved and sanctified. That's why he asked, he said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith, fidelity, faithfulness on the earth? Hebrews chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 5. Hebrews 11 verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, before the rapture that happened to him, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Men pleasers will not make it. People pleasers will not make it. Society pleasers. If I don't please them, I don't like any discomfort. If I don't please them, I'll feel uncomfortable. But it will hinder you from making it at the rapture. If you're always pleasing people, they want a lie to be told, you volunteer. They want something bad to be done, you volunteer, because then you become the one that everybody loves, everybody appreciates. Want anybody to do anything wrong? Call him. He'll do it for us. People pleasers will not make it. What's your goal? Why are you in the faith? Why are you a Christian? Why are you a believer? Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, it says, but without faith and faithfulness too, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're coming to point number three now. Point number three, the blameless followers with perseverance of the life of godliness. It tells us in James chapter 2, reading there from verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? Verse 6. In verse 6, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Verse 7. In verse 7, do not they blaspheme the worthy name by the which ye are called? They blaspheme the name of the Lord. They say, you know, we know the deeper life as of old. You won't get them to compromise on anything. You can threaten to take their job. You can threaten to oppress them, persecute them. You can threaten to make them suffer. But deeper life of old, they stand like that rock of Gibraltar. No wind moves them. But look at him. He says it's deeper life. And look at what will make him to do. Look at how will make him to compromise. Look at her. She says she's deeper life, but look at her. Look at the things she does. That deeper life that we knew of those days, they kept to the Bible. They'll never do anything like that. You know, you make the people outside the kingdom to blaspheme the name of the Lord because they cannot see you abiding in the word of God. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? We're looking at three things here. Number one, we're looking at the righteous heirs of the promised kingdom. Number two, the reproached heirs in the present kingdom, that the worldly kingdom, that the earthly kingdom. Number three, the rich heirs of the prevailing kingdom. Look at number one. Number one, the righteous heirs of the promised kingdom. It tells us in James chapter 2 verse 5. James chapter 2 verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26, it tells us, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, nor many mighty, nor many noble are called. Verse 27, it says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Verse 28, it says, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Romans chapter 8, reading from verse 14. Romans chapter 8, reading from verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Look at that again. As many as are led by the Spirit of the world, they are the sons of the world. As many as are led by the Spirit of Adam, giving excuse, excuse, excuse. As many as are led by the Spirit of Adam, they are the sons of Adam. As many as are led by the Spirit of society, they are the offspring of society. They are not born again yet, but when you are born again and you come to know the Lord, and you live by the grace that comes from the Lord, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, in verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Then the spirit of bondage captures the soul, captures the mind, and you do not have the chance, the liberty, the freedom to do the will of God and to obey the word of God. You live under fear. When you are by yourself, you live under fear. When you are with people, you live under fear. And when you are in the church, where there should be freedom, because the Lord has set us free, free to live, and free to act, and free to believe, and free to soar, so we can get to heaven, not ashamedly, and you're bowing down your head. I have conviction. I don't want my conviction to be known. If there's any place where should be bold, it's in the church, where we have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and we have the people of God encouraging us. But even in the church, the people are so much afraid. Something is wrong with that person. It says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Look at verse 16. Verse 16, the spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17, in verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. You'll be glorified with him. Number two, we're looking at the reproached heirs of the present kingdom. That's the present kingdom of the world. They live in such a way that there's reproach. They belittle the church because of them. They belittle Christ because of them. Reproach comes through them. And the Lord wants us to get away from all that so that we'll be bringing glory to God all the time. James chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 6. In James chapter 2, verse 6, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, do not they blaspheme the worthy name by which ye are called? Before you do anything, you should ask yourself, if I do that, the people who watch me do that, will they honor Christ? Will they blaspheme Christ? The people you interact with, are you sure? An ungodly, unrighteous, carnal, fleshly, immoral interaction. Those people have minds to think. Those unbelievers, or those backsliders, or those so-called members of the church, they think, they say, okay, I understand I'm like this because I know this is my level, but look at this man high in the church. Look at this woman high in the church. Look at how they behave. They blaspheme the name of the Lord by which you are called. Now, if people blaspheme the name of the Lord by your action, by your behavior, you know, sometimes it's even in the open, you forget yourself, and the people who are watching you display that kind of carnal behavior, they say, what is this fellow doing like this? Even in the secret sanctuary of the Lord. And if they are not careful, they blaspheme the name of the Lord because of you. Do not they blaspheme the worthy name by the which ye are called? I pray God will help all of us. He will help you. He'll help me. So people will not blaspheme the Lord because of the others. They profess to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, it's not true. They are not filled with the Holy Ghost if people blaspheme the name of God through them. Revelation chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 9. In Revelation chapter 2, reading from verse 9, it says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Amen. Amen. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. The people who claim were Jews, but God said, Jesus said, they are the synagogue of Satan. The people who say I belong to Christ, and in life, in behavior, in character, they deny him. I pray you will not be like that. We're looking at number three here. Number three here, we're looking at the rich heirs of the prevailing kingdom. The rich heirs of the prevailing kingdom. We're looking at James chapter 2 verse 5. In James chapter 2 verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Rich in faith? Rich in faith? When we're rich in faith, we're rich in grace, because we can pray by faith and we get more grace. When we're rich in faith, we're rich in love, because we can pray and the love of God will flow into our lives and through our lives. When we're rich in faith, we're rich in the truth of the word of God, so enriches our lives, and then from us, it enriches the lives of all the people. When we're rich in faith, we're rich in the fruit of the Spirit, because it is the faith we pray, and then the faith we're rich in will then be pronounced in us. Rich in faith, you are rich in love, you are rich in joy. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. Because you are rich in faith, you are rich in godliness. You are rich in holiness. Because that faith, the true faith, will bring godliness and holiness into your life. When you are rich in faith, you are rich in hope. Because your hope is grounded in the Lord, affirmed in the Lord. You are rich in faith, you are rich in good action, in activity, because faith without works is dead. You're rich in faith, you're rich in action that will benefit other people. He says, my brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? Tonight, with all that we have studied, we want to come before the Lord by faith. And we want our faith to get anywhere we're deficient, anywhere we're lacking, anywhere we have not been who we ought to be. We believe in God, it will enrich our faith. I said it will enrich our faith. And we will live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and he died for us, gave himself for us. Let's rise up now and let's talk to the Lord in prayer. Let's talk to the Lord in prayer, because he can enrich our lives, enrich our faith. One thing, he wants us to understand that he is the Lord of glory. He is the Lord of glory. Why don't you acknowledge him as you are standing there, as you are praying there? Acknowledge him. He is the Lord of glory. He is the God of glory, and he is impartial. Impartial. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why? Because he is impartial. He's impartial. If he blessed others, he's going to bless you too. If he transformed others, he's going to transform you too. He changed Saul and became Paul the apostle. He changed his nature. He changed his life. He changed his pursuits. He changed everything about him. And you see, God, who is no respecter of persons. And because of that, he'll answer your prayer too. But you must desire. You must desire to have the very nature of the Lord and the very character of Christ, the Lord of glory. Tell him so that grace will increase in your life. That glory will increase in your life. And it'll change you from grace to grace, from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And you'll be stronger and stronger in the Lord. And God will give you the backbone to be able to stand, not having respect of persons, not living your life in partiality, not living your life in respect of persons, not living your life in favoritism, tribalism. But you'll stand straight, firm, transparent, And whatever you do for A, that's what you'll do for B. And you will not be, you know, after people because they give you money, they give you material things. I say, I can never say anything negative, even if it's the truth, because he gives me this and gives me that. That's respect of persons. That's depending on bribes. That's the nature of the people of the world. But to show the nature of Christ, no respect of person, neither fear nor favor. You're not doing anything because I'm afraid. I shouldn't do that, but I fear. I shouldn't say that, but if I didn't say that, I fear what they will do, how they will act. I shouldn't stand that firm, but I fear. Spirit of bondage, again, to fear. You're not serving the Lord wholeheartedly. If the fear of man is what controls you, favor, the favor they show me, the flattery they give me, the human honor they give me. And if I don't keep on bending to them, compromising on their behalf, they will lessen the favor. Okay, you're living for favor. You're not living in faith. You're not living for heaven. Why don't you become a real believer, transparent believer, impartial believer, a standing believer, steadfast in the things of the Lord. You know the truth, and you live and walk in that truth. Tell the Lord, I'll grant you more grace, so we will not remain jellyfish, no backbone, can't stand, worried, anxious about what people do. Why are you worried about that? They have their life to live. Their judgment is in the hand of God. Live by the standard, principle of righteousness that you have learned. You won't allow fear of man, favor from man, to make you partial. To make you hypocritical. You don't really respect the person, but you act as if I respect. Why? Why? Say the right thing. Do the right thing. Whatever you can say behind him, say in front of him. What are you afraid of? No partiality. Interviewing people, recommending people, giving people title. No partiality, no tribalism, no favoritism. Live by the conviction you have in your heart. Pray, and pray in faith, and pray with commitment. That kind of prayer that brings virtue from heaven into your life, into our lives, and you can honor the Lord of glory by having the nature and the attribute of the Lord of glory. You please the God of glory by having faith in him and living faithfully for him, through him, by him. The one that lifts us in glory. The lifter of his glory. Are you in turn, you lift up that glory. Looking unto him all the time. And living by him, by his grace, by his truth, all the time. Brotherly fellowship. Are you a brother? If you're a brother, you're a sister, whatever temptation comes, you resist the tempter, whoever he is. You resist the temptress, whoever she is. After all, you're not living to please her. You're not living to please him. You're living to please God, the God of glory. Fresh focus on who brethren are. If you're a true brother, a true member of the family of God, Christ is your focus. Christ-likeness is your focus. A brother, a sister, beloved in the Lord, God's glory will be your focus, not your ease, my ease, what I like, the smiles of the people, that's not the focus. Your focus is God's glory. In the day and in the night, before the king, before the poor, God's glory. Why don't you have fresh focus on that? Faultless fellowship. Not fellowship in pretense. Fellowship in hypocrisy. No. Transparent fellowship. And whatever should not be in the fellowship of the saints, you see it, courageously point it out. That's your focus. So we bring God glory. Forthright. Forthright faithfulness. Forthright. Forthright. You are not meandering. You are not meddling with those who are given to change. You are forthright. They know you for something, that you stand on what is truth. Consequence, don't worry about that. Pressure, don't worry about that. They might call you names. What's your concern about that? Your concern is to have focus on bringing glory unto God. Be a blameless follower of Christ. No dirty thing behind the curtain, behind the door. Holy, godly, righteous. Whoever stands, whoever falls, you stand. Whoever backslides, whoever lives in a way they blaspheme the name of the Lord, that's not your concern. You focus on being righteous, being godly, dependable, trustworthy, uncompromising. Stand. Let everyone who knows you know that you are not going to compromise because of any favor they are doing to you, or anything negative they can do towards you. Let the people know who you are, where you stand, how you live, that you've made up your mind to follow Christ transparently, not cutting corners. No partiality, no respect of persons. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's good. Another headquarters. Amen. Amen. Father, we surrender, we submit heart, spirit, soul, even our body unto you and to your will, that Lord, by your grace, in your strength, by your spirit, all these attributes and attitudes of men, partiality, respect of persons, hypocrisy, Lord, we reject them from today in Jesus' name. The grace to stand like the brethren, like sons and daughters in the kingdom of God, without gambling with our souls like the people of the world do, Lord. We commit ourselves completely now, unwaveringly before you. Help us and grant us the grace so to do in Jesus' name. Lord, all the vacillations of the past, all the changing and meddling with those who are given to change of the past, forgive and cleanse us from them in Jesus' name. Lord, from now on, anywhere we are, we will not compromise. We will not bend to the people who are looking for slaves, slaves to their evil lives. We will not compromise with anyone. Grace to stand. the backbone to stand, the strength of the spirit to stand. Give us, Lord, in Jesus' name, when we ought to say no, give us the grace to say no. Wherever we need to say no to, anytime, every time, the power, the courage of mind, the backbone of conviction to say no to them, give it to us in Jesus' name. Everywhere we go, everywhere we find ourselves, we'll have this fresh focus, daily focus, consistent focus, to focus on bringing glory unto the Lord. Day by day, living like Christ. No partiality. No hypocrisy. No pretense. No fear of man. No bending to evil people. Lord, we thank you. You helped people of old. You will help us. I would pray, Lord, from this very moment, we'll begin to practice it. No respect of persons. No partiality. No hypocrisy. No bending down to evil. But living our lives in holiness, righteousness, before you all the days of our lives in Jesus' name. Confirm it, Lord, in every life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.